Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Jonah Dew.
Chantel Dew.
In the house. We got to get better at the synchronized Zoom version of that, but
well, hopefully next week we'll be together.
That sounds like a great plan, especially because we've got some cool things that we are working on, such as the Tantrum House Kickstarter
season 7.
Super can't wait for that to happen. How about you guys? What kind of fun stuff have you all been up to recently?
Well, we have, in the last few days, played a couple rounds of Seventh Continent.
Getting
that to the table?
Yep, got that on the table, trying to reverse the curse on the Seventh Continent and search the island and you know, find treasure and all sorts of stuff. So that's been pretty fun. So it's a cooperative game, and I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of cooperative games. I like winning games, so I'm not a huge fan of cooperative games. And this one is pretty good. I mean, it's rated pretty high, so I was excited to play it. But it just seems like, for me, like there's no real time commitment to it. Like, it honestly could go for a really long time, or you could lose really fast. And where we are at the moment, it's like, I mean, an hour and a half, 2 hours in or something, and we're just like, are we making progress? Do we know? Are we going to be playing this for three more hours? We don't know.
So. The other aspect of it is that usually in a game that you play, you're taking turns. So you go around the table and each person takes a turn, you know, and this one's more of, well, if you want to take, if one person wants to take two turns or three turns, or depending on how the flow of the game is going, whatever makes sense, you know, for one player to do one or multiple turns, then you do that, which was just, it's different for us because we're not used to playing that way, which I guess ties into the whole it being a cooperative game as well.
Right. And it's a little, go ahead, Kevin.
No, you go, Will.
Okay, fine. So is it a little bit more on a role play? I haven't played Seventh Continent either. Is it a little bit more of a role play game where you're actually acting on doing roles, or is it more like an open world where you're just free to adventure anywhere?
Yeah, it's more open world where you can kind of go anywhere you want to go. Again, you have a goal of...
And you do have a character.
Right. You have a role and a character, and they have special abilities and stuff like that. But the real goal is to kind of lift the curse. And so it's kind of open world, do whatever you want. There's also kind of bonuses, I guess you could call them bonuses, kind of bonuses for staying together. And so it makes it like, I guess we should just try to stay together then, or should we come apart? Or it's like, you might flip over a card or a tile or a piece of the world where you can't even accomplish that unless you are together. And so it's one of those things, like, if we're going to stay together and it's not turn-based, I guess just go for a while until we decide we don't want to stay together. I don't know. Maybe we're not playing it with the right amount of people. I don't know. We're just doing two. So maybe we need – I think it plays six or so. So maybe we need just more people. And that way it'll be better.
You probably need more people.
Yeah.
Melissa and I played it. The exploration's fun in one sense and sort of frustrating in another sense for me, because it was like, let's go this way. Oh, that was a terrible choice. And I don't remember there being any like clear, like, this way you shouldn't, like, there's no like hints of like, that could be a good way to go, that couldn't be a good way to go.
This is like a bad choose your own adventure book.
And then the other thing that was the how you track your life was the deck, and that was interesting, I think a little bit. So
yeah,
definitely, because you really need that stack of that deck that you have. That's your life. You want the stuff that's in there, and you can't really play without it. But then it's like the deck is getting low, and this is my life. So it's a lot of components.
Yeah, and then when the deck runs out, you die, or you don't die, but you get. It's like tough to survive if the deck runs out, because you like take everything that you've discarded out of the deck, you flip it over, you can only get like a few cards back. Like it doesn't look good for you if you run out of the deck. But at the same time, the cards that you're flipping over, like take as many cards as you want from the deck. So, right.
So how many hours have you played so far?
We're probably only 2 hours in, really.
All right, what do you remember that you did last?
I went through, so the last card that I flipped was, I think it was like these steam holes where they were white or yellow, and I had to pick which color, and I actually picked correctly. I picked white, I believe. And then, so I got to flip another card, or I got a life, or it was something like that. But I know that there was a consequence for if I picked the wrong one. And that's, I remember that being my last card. Before I went ahead and tried to explore some more.
Yeah, the last thing I remember doing is just activating some items. I was getting to the hand limit on some of the cards I had. So we activated a bunch of items so we could use them if we explored a certain territory that has some of the same like card effects or symbols on them. And that's kind of the last thing that we were doing, just kind of exploring and flipping items.
Did you find a ship yet?
No ship.
Spoiler alert!
Doing the base curse?
The base curse, yeah.
Which is what, the curse of Volkar or something? Wait, what is that?
Is it a goddess? Like the curse of a goddess or something?
Yeah. That's one we did. Yeah, you just started, man.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better because we're like playing and we're like,
I think
something's got to happen.
I think it took us a lot longer because we were trying to figure out the components and it was our first time. And so that's why we had probably 6 to 8 cards on the table and it took us 2 hours. And we were like, no wonder this thing says it could take anywhere from 5 to 1,000 minutes.
Shooting for 1,000.
Correct.
Oh, that's crazy. Sarah and I played a couple of quick, easy, fun ones tonight with the family. We busted out the new game Starlink from Blue Orange. That was a pretty neat little Pictionary type of game.
Yeah, it was like a Pictionary type game, except for you have this round board that is covered in stars. And like when you look at the night sky, the stars aren't perfectly scattered throughout. And so you draw a card with a couple words and you choose one and you have to connect the dots of the stars to draw your picture and you're timed and everyone else is trying to guess what it is. And then if you can draw it small enough that there's a little telescope that has a cutout in it, if you can get your picture to fit inside the telescope, then you get bonus points. So,
and it's got a kind of neat guessing mechanic where you have a timer, so you're limited on how much time you can do it, and people can guess, but when you guess, you have to take the sand timer. If you guess right, you get a point or whatever. If you guess wrong, then you can't guess again until somebody else has guessed. So it's not like rapid fire guessing, which means you got to be a little more strategic in your guess because you don't want to like guess wrong and then the next person guesses the right thing. And while it sounds really easy to me to draw these things, trying to draw like a giraffe that's only straight lines with connected dots in random order, like it's going to look like a dinosaur or it's going to look like a horse or it's going to look
llama.
Like... Right. And so it took us quite a few guesses to narrow down, oh, it's a giraffe. That's what we're going for.
And there were a few things that, I mean, some of the cards are worth more points. So
some of them are harder, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that. And then I also played Color It from Haba with my kids tonight. And I have one son who really hates coloring. It's like the worst thing I could... It's a roll and write color game for younger kids, although... My 12-year-old enjoyed it. Like, he was very upset that he didn't win at the end.
That he didn't win the game for 4-year-olds.
His 7-year-old brother beat him. But there are a couple of variants, so you can make it a little harder or, you know, so it's based on dice rolls and there isn't necessarily the colors don't necessarily matter in the version that we played. You can pick whatever color, and you're just trying to color in all the spaces on your house
first. Yeah. So you still do win, which was neat. It wasn't just like a coloring activity. It is still a competitive,
yeah,
a little bit of strategy into your dice roll odds, you know, or whatever. I don't think they were playing it that way, but pick whichever color sounds good for the shutters on this turn.
Yeah, we played. Yeah, and there's four different pads of paper that have different pictures on them, so you can change it up, and some of them are a little harder than others.
It was neat, though. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I was surprised at how competitive they were. Mm-hmm. And how much that, even though they may have put up a little bit of a fight at the beginning, like, I don't want a color, at the end they were like totally into it, thoroughly enjoyed it, mad that they didn't win.
Yeah, so that one we might do a live video sometime on our channel. Oh, okay. With the kids.
You can color along.
Yep, color along from home.
Melissa and I were able to play Foodies live for Come On Virtual Expo.
Yeah, that was this week. Cool.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah, we did two games because there was, you know, you can play that game in like 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And the first game, Melissa pulled it out.
Which nice. Is probably why we played a second game.
It was close. I think Melissa won by like 3 points. And then we're like, people were like, let's play again. So there was quite a few people watching online, and we're like, let's do some of the new cultures. And Melissa and I were like, we haven't played Foodies that much. And we're like, okay, we're going to do five all new cultures.
Oh, nice.
So we basically took the five that we were playing, got rid of them, and because there's 10 total, and just did five new ones. I think the second game might have been a little bit more interesting to watch because – we didn't have any idea what some of the things were. So we're like, oh, I wonder what this one does. Oh, that's cool. So our strategies were totally different for the second game. And I was definitely more hoping that a certain dice would roll, a certain number would roll on a die. And Melissa actually rolled it, and it activated the die. It's the Russia culture. And it's like all this stuff was like piling up on one card. And she rolled the 8, and I got all the goodies. It was pretty. It was pretty good. Video watching. So
he ended up winning by 1 point. And if I had done something on 2 turns earlier, we would have tied, and I would have had more points and would have won the tiebreaker.
But she did.
So close.
But she did win the first one, which right. I don't know if like seems like there's been a lot of. Winning from Melissa on these live videos, Kevin.
Because I'm watching the live stream. I'm distracted. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's a good excuse. I thought it was more like the corona thing. Like, it happens all the time, but until you get tested on live video, you don't know.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the CMON event, because it's interesting, and I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it was mainly just them doing videos on their Facebook Come On Expo page, and they were doing miniature painting. They had like some of announcements from their CEO and other people, and some people submitted videos, like content creators and some retailers and things like that.
Yeah, they ran a couple contests where they would post something and say, show us your gaming table, or give us your game night food recipes, things like that. And then they would draw winners from the people who submitted things. Answers.
That's fun. Did you have to register for it? Like, was it a paid thing? I don't even know what the...
No, people could just join and watch.
Okay. Well, that's fun. I saw that Renegade announced, I think today, which is a week ago, that they've got a new Renegade virtual con coordinator. I don't know that they announced the con necessarily, but I saw that the
con's been announced for a while.
Has it? Okay. So I assume that'll be a similar thing, though, like just a couple-day event that's free to attend, I assume?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it's going to be very similar. I know that a couple of the other things that Come On did was they had some interviews from a lot of their designers. Eric Lang did a couple. And we'll see if Renegade does something similar with that, like talk to some of the designers. And I know they've already been putting out a lot more content from their staff during the quarantine. So they've had something going on almost every single day with Terry does miniature painting, and they do some of their games on. They'll do virtual plays of their games.
Yeah, Melissa and I are actually playing Clank, the Mummy's Curse expansion. So that'll be live on this Wednesday, but last Wednesday when you're listening to this. So.
Yep.
Cool.
Very cool. Cool.
So many things. Well, this might be a good opportunity to jump into a shout out from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Brain Sandwich Games. Their game, Fray, Champions of the Everyverse, is coming to Kickstarter May 26th. This is an arena combat skirmish game, and we're going to have an interview later in the episode with the publisher.
Cool. Can't wait to learn more about that. I think that's our cue to jump into a Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we'll be talking about 8 games coming to Kickstarter the week of May 25th, 2020. Kevin, start us off.
This week, Matigo is launching Kemet, Blood and Sand. This is a re-implementation of the base game Kemet, which has been a very popular game in the past. A 2-to-5 player game that plays in about an hour and a half to 2 hours. It's an Egyptian theme. And you are sort of masters of the desert and the Nile, and you're challenging each other to battling. Lots of battling in this one. So this one features new art and upgrading gameplay, and they said that their rules are going beyond their 1.5 rules, and they actually got some feedback from the BGG community to help them with that. So that's kind of interesting. And there's a redesigned map and detailed figures and other things that you'll check out on the Kickstarter from Matigo, Kemet, Blood and Sand.
Cool stuff.
Melissa.
On May 27th, Post Curious is bringing Emerald Flame. This is a narrative tabletop puzzle game. They previously published The Tale of Ord, and this game is played in 3 parts, and each part takes about an hour and a half to 3 hours. So think of it kind of like a 3-part escape room type of game.
And
it kind of has an old world aesthetic. You have chemicals that you're trying to piece together. There are maps and illustrations, and it looks like you've found stuff from ancient times that you're using to complete these puzzles. They're looking at pictures. There even seems to be some 3D objects that are going to be in the box as well. So this is Emerald Flame from Post Curious, and I have heard at least their previous one was on the hard side, so for people who really like challenging puzzle games. Jonah, what do you have?
Coming to Kickstarter on May 26th is, let's see if I can find the publisher. From Atlas Games on May 26th is Dice Miner. Dice Miner is a dice drafting game. It says it's a perfect balance of luck, skill, fun, physics, and cheering dwarven beer. So, and this
is a great combination of things.
In this particular game, you roll 20 dice on your turn into this into this mountain-shaped dice tray, which actually looks pretty awesome. And you're basically trying to amass treasure by drafting kind of your dwarven horde to clear tunnels and harvest magic and of course savor cheering dwarven beer. So it says you play in 3 rounds, and you're rolling 20 dice to do that. And again, that's coming to Kickstarter on May 26th from Atlas Games. That is Dice Miner.
Cool.
Chantel, what do you have?
All right, coming May 25th is the expansion for Chai High Tea. On this expansion, it includes 6 ability boards with 12 unique abilities, in addition to transparent dice. You also have additional rules that make the expansion compatible to Chai's solo and co-op gameplay. And that is published by Steeped Games coming May 25th.
Cool. I am looking at the game Nemesis Lockdown from Awakened Realms. This is an expansion to Nemesis. I haven't played Nemesis yet, but it's a cooperative dice rolling game with a secret hidden traitor mechanic. This game is for 1 to 5 players. It's pretty heavy one. It takes about 90 to 180 minutes to play the game. The expansion is going to add a new... looks pretty cool. Multi-level base with like stairs and elevators. So before you were just moving around on flat space, now you've got dimension that you're moving around into. It's also got advanced computer actions and power and lights on the different levels. So I don't really understand what that means, but obviously you're going to be able to kind of turn off and on things, it sounds like. It also adds contingency procedures. Sounds cool. And then new characters and alien races. So a lot of new things being added to it. It looks like a pretty big box expansion. Now I might be looking at the, like maybe my perception is off, but it looks like a pretty heavy addition to this cinematic sci-fi horror experience. That's Nemesis from Awakened Realms. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Coming May 26th is Good Cop, Bad Cop Promoted. This is an expansion to the base game, and this is from Pull the Pin Games. Good Cop, Bad Cop, this will play up to 4 to 8 players and about 30 to 90 minutes. This expansion will add some extra games to the base game where you can earn medals. And these medals will give you promotions and rank you as a cop. And then it also has victory points on these medals that you get. So you can get end game scoring additions from just the base game. So that is Good Cop, Bad Cop Promoted.
Yeah, and I think they've actually got a number of expansions for that game. The first edition, I wasn't like a super fan of the art, but I think they've kind of improved it with each round. Mm-hmm. And so this adds yet another expansion to that lineup.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like 80s kids cartoon art.
Right. The newer versions.
Newer ones.
Yeah, it looks like maybe like Spider-Man-ish, like Spider-Man cartoon that I remember.
Yeah, kinda. I agree with that.
Now, before we get to our interview with our sponsor, with Frey, Champions of the Everyverse, we need to talk about the Kickstarter that everyone is wanting to learn more about.
That's and right.
That's the Tantrum House
on.
Season 7.
Oh, yeah. fantastic. So is this live tomorrow?
In real time?
In real time.
Sweet. So if you're listening to this podcast, you only have to wait like 24 more hours till all of your promo board game dreams come true.
That's right. Yeah.
Because you dream about that a lot. I know. We've got like 42 promo cards, 42 promo items. Some of them are cool things like custom. Are we spoiling things? We're spoiling things at this point, right?
That's okay.
Sure.
Custom.
Spoil it, man.
Yeah, custom sweet looking tokens for parks, like that replace your existing tokens, which is very cool. Lots of different promo cards, some of them with our faces on them, which is pretty slick. Several like tokens and punch boards, minis, I believe, are in there.
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy, but Mythic Games, we were talking to them. They're like, we can do a mini for our Kickstarter campaign for Hell the Last Saga. I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool. And yeah. They're like, we're going to put your head on a stake. What?
Have we seen the final version? Like, is your hat on the top of the stake and then like the stake going through? Because I think it has to, right?
Right, that's the right. requirement. I don't know if my hat, maybe they'll put a helmet or something because it just the art style or the theming wouldn't mean a fedora.
It doesn't have fedoras in it.
Right. But I have seen some sketches and it's pretty I don't want to say gruesome, but it's
intense.
Intense. But I'm, you know, if people want to buy that just so they can be like, I've got Kevin's head on a stake, I mean, yes, they might as well, right?
More power to them.
So that's exciting. This, if you're listening to this Kickstarter or this podcast, the Hell Last Saga only has like a day or two left because I think their campaign ends on like the 26th or 27th. So check that out as well.
I know we've got a bunch of bundles in the campaign as well, probably more than I anticipated. Like, there are a bunch of different game packages where you can get three or four different games from one publisher, or like the full Kickstarter bonus deluxe set that you can't get anywhere else anymore. So a lot of game bundles, which is going to be cool. And then we've also got, I just got word back today, I don't even know if I've shown you guys, the aluminum anodized something-something dice that we're getting, the custom dice. Just saw proof of those today. Look awesome. Very cool. They're like pretty heavy duty metal dice that are going to have our Tantrum House logo on them. And then instead of pips, it will have small little houses on each side.
No way.
Yeah. So pretty cool stuff. And I think we're doing a pretty good deal on those. I don't even know what price because I haven't seen it, but I know that Dice Tower offered similarly manufactured dice for way more than we're going to offer them.
Yeah,
for,
I think we're doing two dice for $19. That's basically like $10 a die, free shipping. Free worldwide shipping. One promo that I just found out about that I wanted to talk to you all about live right now. It is from Floodgate Games.
Ooh. Yeah? Ooh.
Yeah, they said, hey, why don't we do a Sagrada promo?
Yes!
Nice!
So they are getting me the art to a Sagrada promo card that will be Tantrum House. I think it's going to have our Tantrum House name on the card. So
sweet!
Very cool.
And it's going to be one of the stained glass window patterns?
Yes.
Will the glass all be broken? I feel like it should be broken. Tantrum broken glass window.
So, and one thing that I think we can reveal right now too is because of some of the work I'm doing with the all-in promo level.
Yeah.
That's usually $99 for everything. And I thought, well, why don't we just make it a little bit more special? We'll limit the number of people that can get it. But what we'll do is we'll have some exclusive promos on that level. So right now we have already confirmed an Architects of the West Kingdom promo.
Sweet.
From Renegade Games. We already have a Skulk Hollow promo from
Pencil First.
And we're working on a couple other publishers, but we'll just sort of whet your appetite with those two right now. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So we should probably shoot an intro video for this Kickstarter sometime soon.
Right?
Yeah, I'll work on that.
It's been difficult with the quarantine to get a lot of stuff done.
Speaking of that, a lot of the games, a lot of the promos, we have the games and we're going to be doing a 12-hour marathon this week too.
Surprise!
So on Friday, the week of this podcast airs, you can go on our channel, our YouTube channel, and check out our 12-hour marathon. We'll be playing a lot of these games. And Will's putting together a cool like event spreadsheet PDF thing.
Yeah, we'll get some graphics together to let you know what the plan is for how we're going to go through that. I think everybody, hopefully, will be able to pop in or out at some point during our station. And then, obviously, you listeners, we would love to have you tune in. We're going to be playing games that are, some of them will be playable with the audience. Some of them will be giving away prizes and things. Some of them will just be playing and trying to, you know, outdo each other and have some fun. And we'd love to have you guys tune in for some portion or all 12 hours if you want to.
Well, why don't we move into the Frey Champions of the Everyverse. I was able to interview Mark. This is, like Melissa said, an arena battle skirmish game, and it's got some pretty cool characters in it. Some of the background material that they pulled from is pretty cool. So why don't we jump into our house guest segment and welcome Mark from Brain Sandwich Games to the house.
Hey!
Hey, thanks for having me.
Mark, so Brain Sandwich Games, tell us a little bit about the company.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're a new company. It's a group of friends. We've been together in a game group for about 25 years, playing games, designing games. The company started a few years ago, but we really started taking off last year with our first Kickstarter. And we make games that we want to play, and we certainly hope other people want to play too. So, you know, it's a great experience.
Cool. Where did the name come from?
Well, you know, it actually comes from an inside joke about how some of the tactics we were using in games were basically hurting our games and hurting our minds. And we were like going to just put our brains in sandwiches and eat them because we were beyond the point of frustration. So
I love it. I love when you have an inside joke sort of that everyone in the group knows about. And it's sort of something that you guys can look back on. So that's really cool. Really cool.
Thanks.
So you are bringing Frey, Champions of the Everyverse, to Kickstarter. This is your first game coming to Kickstarter?
Actually, it's our second game. Did a Kickstarter last year. Yep, that's successfully funded.
And what was that?
We did a card game. It's an adult-themed party game called Per My Last Email. Okay. So it was kind of light and fun. But we're looking at different kind of game styles, so this is very different.
So I see that this is like a arena combat skirmish game, and it looks really interesting with just the name itself, Frey, Champions of the Everyverse. It sounds like there's just so many different character options. Tell us a little bit about the game itself, and then I'll ask you some more questions.
Sure. So the core mechanic of the game is basically combat skirmish. We worked very hard on trying to sort of cohesively theme the game and build lore around the game. And the concept of the game is that there are these sort of all-powerful beings that live in the nexus point of all space and time. And they're very capricious. And they sort of select these great heroes and villains alike from different fictions and different realities. And they bring them into this, like, grand center where they have an arena, and they basically fight to the death to sort of solve the great questions. So the game is a skirmish game. It takes place in this mythical arena where you're basically battling for the soul of the universe. And you have these different archetype characters that essentially fight in either single or team gladiatorial combat. And it's a winner-take-all battle. It's the whoever emerges from the fray is the last person standing. So it's very fast, it's very quick, and we think it's pretty epic.
So there's a lot of characters here. How many characters do you have in the base game?
So the base game has 12 characters, and two of those characters have companions that can be summoned into battle. So the base game will have 14 miniatures, 32-millimeter miniatures, to represent all of those characters, but it's 12 distinct characters.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about the characters. They all have unique abilities.
Right. So we have a whole list of characters that pull from different genres that we loved as kids. You know, there's a cowboy from the Western genre, a gunslinger. There's a vampire, which is actually a character I created. I really am in love with vampire lore and put a lot of work into her. There's a steampunk engineer. There's a typical gladiator. There's a wizard, there's an orc, there's a dwarf, there's an archer, there's a Amazonian priestess, and there's all these different characters. They have unique abilities. We worked very hard to tightly theme the characters.
That's what my
together.
Next question was going to be. How thematic is, like, you're talking about the archer, like, how does that play out in how the character plays his character?
So with the characters, each character has a backstory, a little bit about the world that they came from and sort of delving into the archetype that they kind of represent. And the character abilities, which essentially is the entire mechanism of the character actions. So the game is centered around using abilities to activate that these characters have that are either standard or unique. And all of the unique abilities are both named and themed to really fit in with the mold of that archetype. So we put a lot of work into making sure that this is a really tight thematic game that was really important to us. So each one of them has something that's really flavorful, you know, and we love that. That's one of the most fun parts of the game is to see, like, you know, the quick draw kind of sheriff or the vampire that bites your neck and sucks your blood and all that different stuff. And we put all that into the game.
So other than the vampire, which I am assuming is your favorite character since you created it, what would be your second favorite one that that is available?
So the team and I, we're always debating on who we like the most. you know, we actually had a very broad, we had a whole bunch of characters and it was really painful kind of boiling them down to who we thought the best archetypes were for the core game. But the first character we actually created is Gadget, the steampunk tinkerer. And she's one of the characters that has a companion. And the companion is basically like a sentient steam turret that she controls. And
that's cool.
I mean, she was the first one we did, we designed, we had the artwork done for. So she has a special place in my heart. But beyond that, I'd have to say I really love the samurai. We have a really cool kind of traditional looking samurai, you know, kabuki mask, full armor.
And yeah, I've seen a picture here on the Board Game Geek. It's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, he's got a lot of like very cool abilities, you know, hit thousand cuts, which is his ultimate ability where he just like attacks everyone in kind of like a whirl of blades. And he was really cool. You know, the one character that I actually really liked that I thought might be a little bit boring was Golga, the actual gladiator who comes from a world of a Roman style world where gladiating, you know, where sort of these blood sports are still very popular. And he ended up being really a cool kind of fit to it. But they all have great things about him in each of their own ways.
Well, let's move from the game itself to your Kickstarter campaign. A lot of our listeners are always interested in the campaign itself. What are some of the things that you're excited about in that you're offering in the campaign?
Well, we're just really excited about it. The game's been in development for a few years now. We've been, you know, artwork and modeling and playtesting. We were really excited to bring miniatures to the game. You know, originally we were thinking about standees, but we kind of come from wargaming backgrounds and we were like, you know, you can't do this without miniatures. So we were really excited about actually getting those molded. And our campaign is going to show a lot of that off. We have the artist who worked on the project just did a phenomenal job. The arena is really cool. But also, I think for the goal, I mean, obviously, we're really hoping to fund. We're very excited about bringing this game to life. But if we're lucky enough to kind of move past that, we have some really cool stretch goals, and I don't want to get into too much of that, but
okay. You know, I was going to ask if there was any stretch goals you wanted to reveal on the show, but that's okay. I understand.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to spoil it because I certainly don't want anyone to be disappointed if we don't get there. But what I will say is that the game was actually much larger and we sort of made the core game to be what we thought was the best possible streamlined version of the game. But there were so many ideas we had. And as we move through the stretch goals, we start tapping into that. New characters, new other things that are just super cool and exciting. And we hope we get there. But, you know, we wanted to really make sure that the components are all great, high quality components. And I just hope when people see it, they're excited about the game and they think that, you know, we did a really great job and they can't wait to play it.
What are the funding or what are the reward levels?
So, you know, we kind of beat ourselves up over, well, how dynamic does it need to be? Do we need all these different add-ons? And what we realized is that we made the game we wanted to sell. And we wanted to not only retail after the fact, but we wanted to bring the Kickstarter. We didn't leave anything out of the game. So there's only essentially three pledge levels. There's just your, you know, hey, we're looking to support you, $2 pledge level. There's a third tier pledge level for retailers. But the primary pledge level is the whole game. So we didn't bog it down with add-ons or like five different iterations of the game. You know, this is the game we want it to make and we didn't want to parcel it.
Cool. Well, that's good. Keep it streamlined. So since this is your second Kickstarter campaign, what are like one or two things that you learned from that previous Kickstarter campaign that you really took to heart for this campaign?
Well, the answer is like everything, if I'm being honest. I mean, our first time at a Kickstarter, I mean, it was like, whoa, we had no idea what we were doing. And it was like some of the, you know, Kickstarter is a community. And what we learned is that, you know, we have to speak to that community and we have to build that community and we have to build our own community. So we didn't really appreciate that when we went into our first game. Also, you know, we had no idea what the whole logistics were. But having now produced a game and had it manufactured, we understand, you know, how to run the logistics end of this. So I feel like everything about the campaign is just going to be smoother because we've already done it.
That's, you know, cool. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing those thoughts with us and our audience. And yeah, building the community is really key to having a successful campaign. And it was really great having you on the show, Mark. Listeners, check out Frey, Champions of the Everyverse from Brain Sandwich Games on Kickstarter starting May 26th. Any final words, Mark?
Please back it. We really want to bring it to life. We really want you to take a look at it. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Bye.
Well, it was great having Mark on the show and hearing a little bit more of the behind the scenes for this game. And it's cool that they've learned some things from their previous Kickstarter with their first game. And now they're bringing the second game. And the miniatures, they do look pretty cool. So definitely check out Frey, Champions of the Everyverse, this week. So some other big announcements this week, at least when we're recording.
In the board gaming world,
When we're recording this, the Spiel got canceled. Gen Con got canceled.
Oh!
I know.
It really does kind of blow my mind.
But the Spiel, which is sort of connected to the Spiel des Jahres, they announced their nominees for the Spiel, the Kenner Spiel, and the Kinder Spiel. I'm assuming we're just going to talk about Kenner Spiel and the regular Spiel, unless you guys want to talk about the Kinder Spiel.
I haven't actually played any of those, but anytime that they get nominated, you know it's going to be a pretty good and probably popular game. So I am interested in trying them at some point.
Okay.
But I don't know anything about them right now. Well, they didn't look familiar.
I will mention the three Kinder Spiel, which is like more of the kid games. It's Hedgehog Roll, Photo Fish, and Roboter. Roboter.
Roboter.
It looks like a robot on a surfboard. Anyway, those are the three kid ones. Let's move into the what do you guys want to do next? The regular Spiel or the All right, we'll do this.
Yeah, I think those are probably the ones that we're more familiar with. I was surprised that they weren't any of the games that I would have anticipated, but all really solid games.
Oh, you're talking about the Kenner Spiel? Because I had no idea about the Spiel games.
Oh, maybe I don't know what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the Crew. Which category is that?
Oh, yeah, that's the Kenner Spiel.
Let's talk about that
one. The strategy games.
Yeah, well, the Kenner Spiel is more of like what they say, the next level games, where it's the Spiels, the family weight games. The Kenner Spiel does have those games that we've played, the Crew and Cartographer and King's Dilemma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So interestingly, King's Dilemma is like kind of out of it's a weird genre of game.
Have you played it?
It's a legacy.
Yeah. I haven't played it, but I've sat through watching people play it.
Melissa and I just started a campaign.
Oh, did you? Do you agree or am I wrong? Like, it doesn't seem like the typical strategy game nominee.
Yeah, I would say it is a little odd with it being a legacy game, but I think the Spiel has had some interesting choices the last several years.
It's a lot to choose from, so I guess that's true.
I know we're all big fans of Cartographers, and I think we've all played the Crew except for Will. We actually talked about that. So, Will, you need to get on board, man.
I know. I got to see that one too. I've seen all of them played. I have played Cartographers.
Vote would actually be Cartographers.
Really? Cool.
I think King's Dilemma might be a little bit too polarizing because there are some moral dilemmas that you have to choose in the game. I think that's going to be off-putting to some people, so I don't think they're going to choose that one, even though it is a very unique type of game.
I mean, it's gorgeous for sure.
The Crew, it's a trick-taking game. It's a unique one. Is it a Kenner Spiel winner? Sure. I mean, I'd love it for it to win, but...
Yeah, I thought the crew would have been in the spiel category.
Yep.
Kind of, because that's what The Mind was in.
Yep,
right.
It is a step up from The Mind, though, because yeah. of the complexity of...
I don't know. I put that in a Ticket to Ride category. I mean, I put that in the same type of category, personally. Anyway, but I think my vote would be for Cartographers. What about you all?
I would be all in favor of that just because Thundergriff or Thunderworks or whichever Thunder they are.
Thunderworks, man. Get it awesome. Right.
Thunderworks. Well,
everybody will know after this.
I feel
this.
Sad that you even said it wrong.
I still don't know which one it is, even after you just said
works.
It.
It is works.
So here's my.
They've got awesome people working there, and I'm excited that their game is in the running. So very cool. What were you saying?
So here's my thing with Cartographers. In my opinion, it is a different game whether you use like the game provided pencils or whether you use colored pencils. It's a different true. Game. And I honestly feel like if they would have put colored pencils in that box, then I got to agree with you guys, Cartographers. But they put regular pencils in that box.
They needed an expansion of some kind, so they were probably saving that.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Maybe that'll be an expansion. Get colored pencils.
It is a completely different game with colored pencils. Way more, like, I think it's more fun, easier to...
Keep track,
easier to play. Mm-hmm. Regular pencils is what is in that box when you buy it. And that makes it, like, it's a different... If you didn't know, like, or didn't have the ingenuity to, oh, let me go get some colored pencils, and you just always played with regular pencils, you probably are not having the same experience as someone that plays with colored pencils. You really aren't.
Yes. Colored pencils are a must. I was looking at the... games that the jury recommended for the Kenner Spiel. And I think these games are probably more of what Will was thinking would be in the nominee list. And that's Paladins of the West Kingdom, mm-hmm. Underwater Cities, Res Arcana, a little bit more of the higher strategy complexity games. But those ended up in the recommended list and not the actual finalists.
Well, why don't we move to the regular spiel, Spiel des Jahres, which, you know, Settlers of Catan's on that list, Carcassonne's on that list, Ticket to Ride, you know, past winners. The nominees this year are My City from Cosmos, Nova Luna from Stronghold, and Pictures from, don't even know, but Rio Grande is bringing it to the United States. So
I don't think My City or Pictures are available in the U.S. yet. So a lot of people are like, we've never even heard of these games.
That pretty much happens to me for at least one or two of the games every year. And I do agree, like, it's very Ameri-centric to think that we should have to play them before they can be nominated.
I had heard of My City before just because I knew it was coming down the pike. We have a relationship with Cosmos, so we knew that was coming. I didn't know it was going to be a nominee for the Spiel, so that's kind of cool. Hopefully we can get a review copy and show it. I reached out to Rio Grande Games, who is the going to be bringing Pictures to the United States, and they said they'll send us a copy of Pictures cool. soon as well. And
P.D. Verlag, is that who that's from, I guess?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know who that is either. But.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. My City is also a legacy game, right?
Yes,
so
it
there
is.
There are two legacy games, yes. One in the Kenner Spiel and one in the Spiel for the nominees this year. And My City is by Reiner Knizia.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to mention the recommendation?
And then Uwe Rosenberg is Nova Luna, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you... Yeah,
so, big names, big publishers, makes sense.
Melissa, do you want to say the recommendations?
Yes, I'm familiar with some of these games. On the recommended list is Color Brain, Giraptosaurus.
That's a cool one.
The Fox in the Forest, which is a trick-taking game. Kitchen Rush.
I've seen that one.
Little Town and Spicy.
Yep. What was the last one?
Spicy.
Huh.
Yeah, I would say on the recommended list, I think we all knew most of those games. So, yeah.
Interesting.
What does that actually mean? Is that just like runners up? I don't even know what recommended means. Like,
probably runners up to the nominees.
It's from the list that they chose from for the finalists.
Is that like all nine of those games were nominated and then the one and the other six are leftovers? Or is it like...
I think
5,000 games were nominated.
Oh, I'm sure hundreds of games.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were thousands of nominees and they were chosen, there were the list that Melissa just read off were the ones recommended by the board, and then they chose the top three, and then one will be chosen for the final winner.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Glad you know your process so well.
And for any
you made up.
For any listeners who aren't as familiar with the Spiel des Jahres, this is a German award, and the game has to be published in German, in the German language. So there may be games that people wonder, well, why isn't this one on the list? Well, it might not have qualified because it's only a English version of the game.
And even the timing, I think they said the cutoff's like in February of 2020, so anything that's published March on is like for the next one. So it's kind of, I don't know, I guess it's like March to February is there, like,
yeah. And there's some things behind the scenes that a lot of people may not know as well. They pick a winner far enough in advance that they know that whoever's the winner, the sales for that game are just phenomenal. So they need to have all the manufacturing in place so that when they do announce it and they have it available at Essen Spiel, that they have enough copies. So a lot of times they may not even consider a smaller publisher if they don't have enough capital or resources to print tens and 20,000s of copies.
Like hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands.
Not tens. Yeah, I don't know how much. I mean, I've heard that rumor as well. I assume there is truth in it. You do usually see major publishers being the winners of the Spiel. But yeah, your manufacturing capabilities would have to be up there in order to be a success when voted upon by this, you know, giant board of trusted people. Do we know how many years the Spiel has been going on? I know I'm just making that up, and probably nobody knows, but it's become such a respected award, but I actually had a theory that it was a pretty young award from what I recalled.
No, it started in 1978.
70s. Okay. Cool. The Spiel des Jahres.
That's 40. That's getting, yeah, getting to 50 years soon.
Yeah, they said the winner can expect to sell 300,000 copies of their game.
Yep, that sounds more like it.
That is a lot of copies.
And I think even just being nominated puts you in a similar bracket, yeah, because everybody's like, oh man, this is the second best game in the whole world. I'm going to get it.
Cool. Well, I say that we wrap this show up and say to listeners, don't forget about our Kickstarter launching this week.
Yeah, please do. Check it out tomorrow or at least Tuesday whenever you're listening to this. We will be live on the Kickstarters. We've got some exciting stuff in the queue. We are very excited to just be... I don't know. Running a campaign is a thrilling experience. It's very cool to be able to connect with all the backers as they're coming in and to be able to communicate and to just celebrate as milestones are reached. So I know I'm very much personally looking forward to a week of adventure. And then, some of the things that we'll be able to pull off as a result of this will be fantastic. That 12-hour... So I'm going to spoil something. The 12-hour marathon is actually maybe a practice for something bigger that we want to do.
Oh yeah.
And looking forward to some really fun things in the future. Jonah and Chantel are here on the podcast with us right now, and we'd love to have them be an even bigger part of what we're doing at Tantrum House. And
so some stretch goals, I hear.
Yeah, some of that stuff might be in the campaign as well. So really, really fun. Looking forward to a fantastic week. Hope you guys will join us. Hope you'll take advantage of some of the really fun stuff that we have in there. Until then, stay healthy, have fun, keep playing board games, and tune in next week because we'd love to chat with you once the campaign... Actually, it won't be live when we're recording. How does it work? I don't know. But tune in next week either way. All right, I think that'll do it for tonight.
To the Tantrum House.
See you guys later.
Board game podcast.
Bye. Bye.
If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.